More of Lake Effect Now, I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. This Friday, the Milwaukee Rep opens Brookfield native Ayad Akhtar's play, The Who and the What. It is the third of four plays of the Pulitzer Prize winner to be staged at the Rep.
May Adralis directs the production. Ayad Akhtar was scheduled to join our conversation, but he was called away suddenly into rehearsal for his latest play, which is scheduled to open next week at New York's Lincoln Center. May Adralis, it is so great to see you again. I think we first talked 5 years ago.
That's right, when I did Yellow Man at the Rep.
Right, and you've been back a few times, and we've talked a couple of those times, but now you are here in a new capacity. And I wanted to start with that before we get to the show that you're actually directing. So tell me about this position that you have.
Well, recently I've been named an associate artistic director. I'm serving along with Brent Hazelton in that capacity. And it's a really exciting career change in some ways for me. I'm still freelance directing, which has been my path for the last 10 years. But this is an opportunity to be more part of the leadership of this great theater that gave me one of my first breaks.
Is this the kind of thing where you're looking ahead and thinking, I want to be an artistic director at some point, and this gives you that experience to do that?
Yes, I hope that it does give me the tools and experience to take on larger leadership roles. Right now, I feel really passionately about making the theater the future, and I've had long conversations with Mark Clements, the artistic director, about that. He and I've had these, you know, impassioned conversations about what makes good theater, what kind of plays should we be doing, you know, as an American theater community, and how to push that agenda forward.
What does make good theater?
What does make good theater? Well, what I think makes good theater is plays that truly extend the conversation of what the questions they're trying to present, plays that really ask a question about the status quo, challenge the status quo, make us contemplate the world that we're living in. And oftentimes for me, I've made my career mainly with new plays. And so mainly the plays that really address those pertinent questions are new plays that are from writers that are responding to the political, social world that we're living in right now.
One of the things I think is a perennial topic of discussion is theater still important? So do you see this idea of the new theater, the theater of the future, people talking about topical things? How do you present that to a society that doesn't necessarily see theater as a way to answer those questions?
Certainly, there's a lot of competition in a sort of Netflix generation where it's so much easier to get good stories, you know, sitting at home in bed and eating popcorn at any time you choose. And theater can't really compete with the convenience of that. But what I think makes theater a unique and important experience in our everyday lives is that it's a live experience. It's a platform in which we can actually come together as a group of people, and it's a shared experience so that the night that you go to the theater is special. It's a experience that you're sharing with those around you. And I think good theater does allow people to continue that conversation when they leave. In terms of its relevance and how to keep it relevant, I think right now we're in a place where we are, as a society, craving actual dialogue. I think it's really what we need. We're at this crisis point where we are so polarized on either end. So if you can have an experience, maybe it's not political at all, but just to get people of opposing points of views into the same room to talk about a common thing, I feel like it's making a step forward. And then also I will say that the theatrical experience of the excitement of a mise-en-scène with the lights and sound and the electricity of all of these elements coming together with an audience response cannot be duplicated in a movie or a book or a Netflix series, no matter how addictive it is. You do experience something very singular, and that's one thing that theater has, I feel like, will keep it going.
Yeah, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you know the play, you still don't know what's going to happen because anything could, even things that go wrong. But it's because it's happening in the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And there's nothing like that experience where, you know, something, a cue goes wrong on stage, an actor drops a line. There's something that unexpected that happens. There's some foible that happens that the audience is aware of. And I think that vulnerability makes theater unique. It makes the audience, I think, more engaged in what's going on stage. much.
Yeah, I think you feel like you have a stake in it.
Right, right. You can't just sit back passively, put it on pause. It's going to, it's interacting with you. It's forcing that interaction.
Are there new playwrights maybe not new playwrights, but new plays by playwrights that are really exciting you right now? I mean, if somebody is out in a different part of the country and has a chance to see a play by someone they may not know, are there people that you would say, oh, my gosh, go to that, see that person? Doesn't matter what they write. Go see that person.
Oh, yeah. I collaborate with a Vietnamese-American writer, Quy Nguyen. And he and I recently did a play, Viet Gone, which in his words is a sex comedy about his parents. But his parents were refugees fleeing Saigon in 1975 and creating a new life in America. And it's how they met in a refugee camp. So it's both political, but it's also a romantic comedy. But his work is extremely theatrical. It mashes up different genres of hip-hop and tragedy and comedy, and there's a dance sequence and there's like a fight sequence. I mean, he really pulls out all the stops in that theatricality, and he's a very prolific playwright. So I would stay, you know, alert to what he's doing. Ray Pamatmat, who was here, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago, last time I was in Milwaukee. He has written a trilogy that takes place from 2000 to 2014 about the gay experience. And when you look at those three plays, you see how wildly that landscape has changed. The first play deals with the first internet dating sites and how that changed the landscape of dating, and especially in the gay community. And then the second play focuses on he's from Michigan, and it focuses on a statute that was passed that made marriage specifically between a man and a woman, and his reaction to that. And then the third is after Obergefell versus Hodges, you know, when marriage equality became the law of the land. So it's an astounding piece of work. It's almost our generation's answer to Tony Kushner's Angels in America.
I was just thinking that. It's like, do you think he is the next Tony Kushner in that way?
He would love that, because he does. He idolizes him. But I think in terms of really strong intellectual thought and the questions that he makes the audience wrestle with are certainly on par with Kushner.
Yeah. Well, also on par with the playwright whose work you are directing right now, and that's Ayad Akhtar, who's sat in that seat more than once talking to me about really thorny and difficult and interesting and funny things that all somehow get mushed into his plays. Talk about a mashup.
Oh, yes. I mean, his plays are so riveting, and they're exciting to direct. I think they're incredibly exciting for actors to dive into. He creates thorny, complex, beautiful, dangerous characters, and he's not afraid to tread into dangerous, provocative territory.
And in this one, The Who and the What, his two main, well, they're all important. You know, all four characters are important, but the women really stand out as the driving forces of what's going on in the play.
Absolutely.
And that's a lot of fun, and it's within the context of Islam.
Yes. I mean, I respond very particularly, especially to the oldest daughter. The play centers on this Pakistani-American family, and the oldest daughter has written what many Muslims would consider sacrilege, a book about the Prophet Muhammad. And I connected immediately to that female character, because she tries to be both the daughter that her somewhat despotic but very charismatic, loving father wants her to be, but she also has to become the person, the woman, the feminist, the radical feminist, the provocateur, the intellectual that she is. And so those two sides are warring it with one another at the play. And so in the play, you're forced to reckon with, how can you love both the person and who they are and all the values that they espouse, even though you disagree with them on some fundamental issues?
And it is a wonderfully funny play on top of it. I mean, it is dealing with something that, I mean, I'm not Muslim, so I don't get the same kind of weight that I think Muslim audiences would from this. But I understand it as being incredibly difficult and thorny to talk about. I mean, the book that she's written is about the prophet as a man, and that really is tough. But in the course of hearing about all of this, I mean, there were things that literally made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Because they're so human.
Yes, yes. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, we look at, you know, just the difficulty in communicating, the difficulty of a father who shows his love in the most grandiose and inappropriate ways for his daughters. And when you look at those moments, you know, an awkward first date or a sibling rivalry between the two sisters, you...
His discovery of emoticons.
The father's discovery of emoticons. You find the universality in the family story.
Yeah. How is rehearsal going? How are people finding the script?
I have an incredible, incredible cast. They are so diligent in their homework. They have really just dived into the material and tried to understand every single in and out of each character. And I'm asking them a lot. You know, they are asked to be thorny people, complex people, people that aren't necessarily likable on stage. And sometimes that's difficult for actors to bring. And they are meeting the challenge and very fearless about it.
One of the things I love about Ayad's work is that in that complexity, in all of that thorniness, where you say, you know, there's a part of you I like, but there's a part of you I really don't. I like that about his work. I think there's something about the way he draws those characters that we care about them, so then we care about what they care about.
Oh, yes.
You know, and some of those things are like, well, I don't, you know, I'm thinking of other plays where it's about the economics, or it's about the play he's working on now, Junk Bonds, and all of these intellectual pursuits. But at the same time, he manages to pull us into who these people are.
Mm-hmm. He writes people that are fiercely passionate about their beliefs and highly argumentative about them. I think he writes them with such compassion that you can't help, even if you don't agree with them, you can't help but be drawn into that charisma.
I'm so looking forward to this one. I look forward to anything that we produce here of his, but very much looking forward to this because of that female protagonist, Zarina. She's wonderful. Again, that kind of crackling intellect.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Know.
As Ayad says in one of his interviews, that she's the smartest person that she's ever met.
Exactly. And that's kind of lonely, you know? That's kind of lonely when you're in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When people can't keep up with you.
Yes. And so it's exciting. You will for her to actually find happiness. I think it's one of the most charismatic things about her, but it is also very lonely.
So once this gets put up, what is next for you? Not just here, but do you have some outside work coming up?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I will be in Milwaukee quite frequently throughout the season. I'm also directing Animal Farm. And that goes up in January. So it'll be my first winter in Milwaukee.
Sorry.
I've been warned. I'm also directing a new play by Kent Powers at South Coast Rep called Little Black Shadows, and also a new play by Idris Goodwin up at Oregon Shakespeare Festival.
So we will get a chance to talk again in the winter.
Yes. I'll come with my snow boots.
Please do. And maybe I'll go over there and we can talk on stage or something. Mm-hmm. I won't make you come out into it more than you need to. But May, it is always great to see you. And thanks so much for stopping by. I know getting out of rehearsal early for this, but I so appreciate your time.
Oh, yeah. It was great to be here. Thanks.
May Adralis is the newest associate artistic director at the Milwaukee Rep and directs Ayad Akhtar's play, The Who and the What, which opens this week at the Stimke Theater. There is more information at wuwm.com.